Hey crew, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
We tried to tell you, they are the Bengals. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I thank Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship in this, our 10th anniversary. Also, the entire podcast universe, both the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and, of course, for non-fantasy content of all kinds, the Todd Wright Toddcast, supported by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. When you are in need of legal assistance, they would love to offer you a free consult at BrandonLegalGroup.com or by calling 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. Email write.todd@yahoo.com. Time and date of this recording, 12:30 Eastern Time, Monday, September 15th. So prior to four teams playing to complete the week two NFL slate. Bucks Texans will have nothing in here to review because the games haven't been played yet. I could use the sports almanac that I got from Biff Tannen via Marty McFly, but I won't. I just don't want the wrong people coming after me. And yes, I do have a sports almanac updated through 2050. Some have joked in the past I must have one because of some things that I've projected properly. I'm not making that up. And I do have a copy of the almanac for collectible purposes. I've tried to get it signed by the actor who played Biff Tannen and was not able to do so. Don't you love how I go off on tangents? I'm sorry. So nothing on the Monday night game. So nothing here involving Bucks, Texans, Chargers, Raiders. We'll get to that in the next Fantasy Football Podcast. The headline is, if you drafted Joe Burrow and likely invested, I know in one of my leagues it was a late second round pick, I believe, in that was in my 12 team. I know who did it. And in my 10 team, I believe it was a third round pick off the big year with a lot of passing touchdowns. They are the Bengals. Is there a 2-0 team that doesn't look the part of a playoff team more than the Cincinnati Bengals? Maybe the Colts, but perhaps the Colts are going to continue this and combine with maybe Texans' problems. It's the Colts who are the play in the AFC South this year, thanks to Daniel Jones, or just thanks to the no thanks to Anthony Richardson. We're not going to even bother with that until further notice. So Joe Burrow out an extended period of time. You thought losing Brock, I guess the worst case scenario is, here's who I'm talking to. If you drafted Burrow as your starter and Brock Purdy as your backup, yeah, this couldn't have gone much worse. You thought Brock Purdy being out was an issue. This is really an issue. This is a major QB1, albeit doesn't give you a lot on the ground. The irony there is when Burrow does run, he runs for big chunks of yardage and potentially touchdowns. So even though he doesn't give you much on the ground, it's odd because I guess it's because of his injury history that he doesn't and his coaches just don't want him to do it very much anymore. So no Burrow. Interestingly enough, from my personal standpoint, I own no Bengals at all in the 12 team or the 10 team. I didn't have a high enough pick to consider Ja'Marr Chase. I wasn't going to own T. Higgins from some scar tissue from a couple of years ago. I don't want to deal with the every week. Is he going to play? Is he motivated to play? He's a number two. He's a wide receiver two on his own team. Chase Brown, I would have loved to own the last couple of years. and just, I don't get him. Other smart players around me in the league draft Chase Brown before I do. And again, I'm normally drafting at the back end of round one. They're running backs I value more before him in round one and two. And by the time it wraps around to me in round three, he's gone. That's what's been going on. Chase Brown's value is probably heightened by what happened. Here's the quick analysis for those of you who own any of the four Bengals: Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Brown. You're not sitting Chase. You're not sitting Higgins. You're not sitting Brown. Brown's value may go up a little bit because Brown's, I don't know. Look, Browning is a very capable quarterback. I don't think, and I haven't thought for a while, there were 32 better quarterbacks in this league than Jake Browning, formerly of Washington. Got Washington to a college football playoff back when there was this huge gap between Oregon getting to the first CFP and then nothing until the combination of DeBoer and Penix got it done and Washington got to the national title game. And that Washington team that made the four-team college football playoff, they deserved to be there, but they were roadkill in that Peach Bowl. It was one of those predictable, this isn't going to be a game, games that was not competitive in the pre-expansion history of the college football playoff. Jake Browning is a solid, experienced quarterback. I'm surprised. Granted, he didn't have much choice but to re-sign with the Bengals. I still think Callahan would have loved to have had Browning follow him to Tennessee. This is before Tennessee ended up with the number one pick and drafts Cam Ward because of Browning making so many starts in college football. The value of starting games, whether it's at the college level, does translate to the pro level. It's reps. It's game reps. It's against someone who's trying to make you look bad. It's against someone who's giving you looks you may not be ready for. So the Bengals winning the game where Browning goes in relief of Burrow against the Jaguars is a sign. We've seen Browning be capable before. So this doesn't mean Chase isn't a starter. Higgins isn't a starter. Chase Brown isn't a starter. The Bengals can still be effective offensively. I guess your next question is, do I just pick up Browning to replace Burrow? You can. Rarely do handcuff quarterbacks work, and I didn't expect any of you to have already drafted Browning to replace Burrow, especially in single quarterback leagues. Often it's plug and play unless you're kind of deciding week to week between two guys. You know, if you have a durable quarterback who has no history of missing time or missing games, and he's also productive, you probably don't even carry a backup quarterback. So, you could do it. I mean, in week 12, prior to the Monday night games, Browning finished with the 12th most amount of passing yards at 241, and he didn't play the whole game. He did throw three picks. He took one sack and he threw two touchdowns. So you can go the plug and play Browning for Burrow route. You can. Or depending on how big your league is, how many people roster backup quarterbacks, especially if it's a one quarterback league, you probably have other choices. Of note, the 11 quarterbacks who had more passing yards than Browning this week, Some of them are probably not even rostered. You could go get Russell Wilson, who threw for 450 and three touchdowns in a wild game in Dallas where the Giants lost again to the Dallas Cowboys. That's now nine straight, nine times for Giants losses to the Cowboys. Dak was two at 361. This is just passing yardage. Jared Goff, strong week two. That is Jared Goff's, by the way. For those of you saying, see, that play caller isn't that bad. Okay. I'll give you that game in the tennis match. Let's see how this plays out. Because I still think it's not going to work. By the way, that was Jared Goff's fourth, thank you, Sean, fourth NFL win as a starting quarterback without McVay or Ben Johnson calling his plays. Fourth. Losses are either 16 or 17 in one tie. Bryce Young was next in a big comeback against the Cardinals that fell short. Bryce Young at 328 and three touchdowns. Daniel Jones, fifth. If he's still out there on waivers, I think at this point you'd have to consider him to replace Burrow. Tua was sixth. Nothing to get excited about in Miami, even though Hill had a good game. We'll talk about receivers in a moment. Matt Stafford was seven. Darnold, eight. A lot of these quarterbacks, I would imagine, are on waivers. Jordan Love, nine, probably not. Mac Jones, 10. I think Mac is one of the top five or six backup quarterbacks. And Kyle Shanahan, this is Kyle Shanahan's chance, right or wrong, to say to John Lynch, this was the guy to take at three. Mac Jones threw for 279 and three scores, did take three sacks and had a fumble. And Trevor Lawrence, ironically, in a losing effort, was ahead of Browning at 271 passing yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions, one sack. So there were some negative plays that are often associated with Trevor. Let's go to leading rushers going into, again, Monday Night Football. So no Bucky Irving here, no Nick Chubb here, no Marion Hampton here, no Genty. They haven't played yet. Last week, I jumped on the box, and I yelled at you for being in full-point PPR leagues and told you how outdated it was. This week, just telling you, there were four running backs who cleared 100 yards going into the Monday night games. There were 12 wide receivers who cleared 100 yards going into the Monday night games. So who needs the extra point somehow in the modern NFL game? Running backs, not wide receivers. Let's analyze the top running backs and see what we got going here. The four that went over 100, we only had three last week. Ken Walker bounced back in a big way. 13 for 105 and one touchdown. And that's two games now where teams have run solidly against the Steelers. Jets did it with Hall and Fields. Jets didn't do it with Hall and Fields in week two. Walker does it in week two. And the gift touchdown. Caleb Johnson also needs to be not only more accountable, but the way he brushed off, yeah, it happened, I'll learn from it, next question kind of stuff. Not a good sign. Not good at all. I don't think he's learned shit. So that looks very early like a failed draft pick that the Steelers chose to play starting running back. You got him back on kick returns anyway, and he gives away points. Bad. His reaction to it, bad. So Ken Walker, 13 for 105 and one touchdown. James Cook, despite only usually playing 60% of the snaps, he had one of his big games, 21 for 132 and two touchdowns as the Bills just blew out the Jets despite not having maybe their best defensive player, Oliver, in the game who was a monster against the Ravens. Bijan Robinson. Guess we get to go back to saying that now with apologies to his mom. 22 for 143 on the ground, no touchdowns. Falcons dominated the Monday night game in probably one of the snoozier, Sunday night game, one of the snoozier Sunday night games we'll get all year. That was a bad choice for a week two Sunday night football game. Penix, fifth career NFL start. McCarthy, second career NFL start. Falcons, Vikings, neither team really considered a preseason division win. Not a good choice. And Jonathan Taylor, whose total tandem offense was 215. This is a throwback to 3 years ago for Taylor. 3 years ago or 2 years ago? I think three. 25 carries, 165 yards, no touchdowns, but big rushing and 50 yards receiving for Taylor as the Colts are out of the gates. Well, with two wins, one over a very bad team and one over a team considered good that not playing good through two games. But remember last year, the Broncos looked really awful through two games. And then in week three, they came into Tampa Bay and everything changed. Other running backs, I'll do everyone from 66 yards and up. That's the top 15. 15, Kyren Williams, 17 for 66, no touchdowns. He got a touchdown vultured by Blake Corum. You know I'm invested in Kyren Williams. I didn't love that. I'm not overthinking it. The Rams are 2-0. McVay still feeds one back more than anybody else, even though he says he doesn't want to do it as much. I'm just glad Blake was in there because Kyren wasn't hurt. So let's monitor it. Patrick Mahomes. I said after that Friday night game, that loss against the Chargers, if all the Chiefs have is throwing to Hollywood Brown and Mahomes running, they're doomed. That's pretty much what I saw against the Eagles, even though they were in the game. That kind of game, they won all last year. Not in the Super Bowl. I know it's the Eagles. But that style of game at home, close game, hang around, defense keeps you in it, Mahomes will find a way to win it. Mm-mm. Mahomes runs for 66 yards and a touchdown. The Chiefs just don't have offensive weapons. You say, well, Rashee Rice comes back in what, week six or after 6 weeks? Too late? Is he enough? And he's coming off an injury. Travis Etienne, 14 for 71, no touchdowns. Tootin had a big roll off the bench with Bigsby gone. Hope you grabbed him on waivers. I did in one of my leagues. Just sat him on the bench. But that's two solid games in a row of usage for Etienne. Algier, no Arthur Smith, and the Falcons still are driving Bijan owners crazy with Algier, who played a lot as the Falcons had a positive game script. Late in the game, it was more Algier than Bijan. And he got in the end zone. Bijan did not. 16 for 76 and one touchdown. Should we apologize to Arthur Smith? Maybe, but we're not. J.K. Dobbins. It looked after week one like Dobbins was the choice over R.J. Harvey, at least at the beginning. The Broncos may look through 2 weeks, but Dobbins looks decent. 14 for 76 and a touchdown for Denver. Josh Jacobs did his thing Thursday night. 23 for 84 and a touchdown. Saquon, 22 for 88 and a touchdown. Tony Pollard, not going to score for you. Not going to get you tough yards. Not going to get you much after contact. 20 carries, 92 yards. I didn't see every run, but there are two running backs I don't think are going to do much for you after contact. They rely on their offensive line. They rely on the play call. That's Javonte Williams in Dallas and Tony Pollard, formerly of Dallas, now with Tennessee. Jahmyr Gibbs, 12 for 94 and a touch. That was just on the ground. Not as many checkdowns from Goff against the Bears. There's Javonte Williams, though, 18 for 97 and a touchdown. I still don't think it's sustainable. Alvin Kamara, 21 carries, 99 yards, no touchdowns, also had a fumble. So there's your top, and we already talked Walker, Cook, Bijan, Jonathan Taylor. So the top quarterback was Mahomes. He had more than Josh Allen, more than Lamar Jackson. Justin Fields did manage 49 yards rushing on 5 carries before he got knocked out of the game. Finally, receiving yards. See if we get any tight ends pop up here. Yeah, the one from Thursday night. And, of course, Bowers hasn't, if he does play Monday night. We'll review that on a later podcast. 12 receivers, 12 players with 100 yards or more. We talked about that. But let's bring some RBs into the conversation. Actually, if you don't mind, let's start at number 23. Because I just want to make a point. If you continue to ignore all the data and the things I have told you about Trey McBride, I don't know how else to say it. I even laughed at the Vegas line that had McBride. Where was he? I thought I wrote down Arizona's numbers on McBride to score a touchdown, and now I can't find it because I told you in the Todd Wright Toddcast, I giggled at the likelihood he would score. There it is. McBride was plus 155. So basically the odds were, 3-2? That McBride would score a touchdown against Carolina. Nope. It's not what he does. It's not how he's used. It's not a priority for the Cardinals. 6 for 78. Did have a 31-yard, big chunk of yardage. But for those of you in mandatory tight end leagues, if that's the guy you're using and you're getting the bonus point you shouldn't from playing in an outdated PPR league, but you know how a bunch of tight ends are just going to get those short yardage touchdowns? They'll have as many or more than McBride. And you use draft capital on McBride. Another game, McBride. Plenty of catches, plenty of involvement, not a touchdown. And he was 23rd in receiving yards. It's not like he was top 5. Jake Ferguson had the same number of receiving yards for the Cowboys, 9 for 78, more catches, 19 yards. Jake Ferguson isn't going to score touchdowns either for Dallas. We talked about that on that previous podcast. Then Tyler Warren. They did try Tyler Warren on, I didn't see the play. Wildcat, tush, push, what was it? It didn't work. Was it to score a touchdown or get a first down? But Warren still caught 4 for 79. He had a 41-yard gain and is doing good things. At number 20 in receiving yards going into the Monday night game, Jefferson, 81 on just 3. Jaylen Warren, 86 yards receiving on 4 carries. Jaylen Warren just isn't a number one running back. It reminds me of when the Cowboys had Marion Barber, and he was awesome as a third down back, a kind of spread the field. It's not that he won't run the ball, but we like the run-pass option with Barber in a spread offense or use him near the goal line from like the 5 or out on a goal to go. That seems to be Jaylen Warren. So the Caleb Johnson failed pick is hurting the Steelers because it's putting Warren just doesn't look like an RB1. He looks like, I don't want to call him a change of pace back. He's a back you use in the game plan, but just he's not your first or second down back running between the tackles. Not all the time. If Jaylen Warren and James Cook could be on the same team, dare I say, would they be perfect together? Cook's role is polar opposite of Jaylen Warren's. And they're both very good in their roles. Ramondre, for Travion Henderson, owners that scratched the $20 lottery ticket. Hope you didn't play him in week two. Ramondre got the work in the first win for the Vrabels, and a rare win. Tua had never lost to the Patriots. Ramondre 5 for 88 on the receiving, and he had some rushing yards. Juwan Jennings returns for the Niners, had a big play for a touchdown, 42 yards, 5 for 89. Troy Franklin for Denver, not Cortland Sutton, not Mims. Troy Franklin, 8 for 89 and a touchdown. Cooper Kupp, he keeps fighting. I think he's fighting a losing battle, but 7 for 90, was 15th in receiving yards before the Monday night games week two. Nacua, 8 for 91. Achan, 8 for 92 and a touch. Tet McMillan, 6 for 100. JSN, 8 for 103. Top 10 go like this. Davante Adams, 6 for 106 and a touchdown. Guy doesn't leave the field. Jameson Williams hit his big play for 64. The other catch was his two catches for Jameson Williams, 64 and 34. I'm sorry, 64 and 44 and a touchdown. Won a lot out there with that game, with the game script and Amon-Ra doing what he did. Tyreek, biggest game in a long time, and a 47-yard gain as well, 6 for 109 in what we believe would be a trade showcase game. CeeDee Lamb, 9 for 112. Tucker Kraft on Thursday, 6 for 124 and one touchdown as the Packers. Matthew Golden through two games doesn't seem to be the answer to the question of what do we have consistently at wide receiver on a game-by-game basis. Not calling that a bust after two games, but he's not playing a lot. Rome Odunze. So for people like me that put some draft capital in DJ Moore in the Ben Johnson offense, this is a red flag. Rome Odunze, Connor Rogers brought this up on Fantasy Football Happy Hour show on Peacock last week. No one had a better separation number in week one than Odunze. And then in week two, he goes out, puts up the fourth most receiving yards pre-Monday night on seven catches in a big loss, two touchdowns, and had a chunk play of 37. Monitor that Odunze DJ Moore thing. Wandale Robinson, we spent some time pre-flop talking about how his numbers just increase every year, even though he fights consistent injuries and most of you've never heard of him, and the Giants stink. 8 for 142 and a touchdown in the loss to the Cowboys. Even though you don't know who's throwing the ball to him, even though Malik Nabers is there, even though the coach probably should have been fired with the entire staff and the GM a long time ago, Robinson is putting up numbers and is worth rostering. Ja'Marr Chase was second, so even though Burrow goes out, there's Chase, 14 for 165 and a touch, and Malik Nabers was number one in a losing effort, 9 for 167 and two touchdowns. Caught the touchdown that the Giants fans thought won the game against, full circle from the Todd Wright Toddcast, another failed Florida Gator number one draft pick, Elam, forced into duty for the Cowboys as a DB. Elam was a reason Buffalo lost the AFC title game to the Chiefs. They got rid of him because of how poorly he played in the AFC title game, and he showed why Buffalo got rid of him in the game where he was forced into action to play for the Cowboys by almost costing them that game against the Giants. He is the typical Florida Gator, failed number one draft pick since Muschamp took over, and then McElwain, and then Mullen, and now Bobby Napier. And now it's not Bobby Napier, Billy Napier, who's five games under 500 against FBS teams as highly paid Florida Gator coach as of this moment. Send me your questions. All right. That went way longer than I thought. I know I always say that. I'm sorry. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Fantasy football is fun. I lost in multiple leagues this week. It's still fun. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters.